Good morning, beloved. We have been mining the riches in Christ Jesus from his letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5 kind of spills over into chapter 6. Please turn there. Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, the verses and the chapter breaks are a man-made thing to help us find our place. Before the New Testament was written, the Jewish rabbi would tell his people to open your scrolls to Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And they would immediately go to Psalm 22 because that's the first line in Psalm 22, and that's how they knew where to find the scriptures. Can you imagine? I like the man-made thing. Pastor Vince is very fond of the man-made thing. But they knew where to find the scriptures by the first line. And we have been looking at a great deal into the Christian walk here in the last half of this letter to the church. Because once I understand who I am in Christ Jesus, an elect saint, chapter 1, and that I was once a walking dead man, but because I embraced faith that was given to me by the grace of God, nothing that I did to earn it or deserve it. God just bestowed that on me. I now have all the riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Chapter 2. And so I'm a member of the universal church, which consists of believing Jew and Gentile alike, and we have bold access to the throne of grace, chapter 3. And so because I understand and embrace everything that I've learned in chapters 1, 2, and 3, therefore I'm going to walk worthy of this high calling. I'm going to walk as a saint would walk. And God gives us exactly what that's supposed to look like, chapter 4. He tells us to walk in unity, be unified. Avoid anything that might cause division. Put off the old self, the old way of life, old habits. Put off darkness, put on Christ. You are alive in Christ. Live as children of light. Be imitators of God as dear children, chapter 5. Walk in great commandment, self-sacrificing, unconditional love. And walk in light, walk in wisdom. And husbands, love your wives the same way that Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And that brings us to special divine instruction for children and the parents of. And it seems obvious that the children were expected to be present at the reading of this letter. And that is why we do what we do here at Living Hope. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so again, beloved, in this congregation, the children obviously were present. We don't read anything about any special instructions about elders. Make sure you round up the children for this special message. The Apostle Paul knew that they would be present. That was a given. Secondly, verse 1 speaks to the parent who does not make it mandatory for their child to attend church because they want their children's faith to be their own. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that when I was a youth pastor. And I immediately thought, Lord, help me. Lord, help them. What do you mean your child's faith to be their own? How are they going to get that? Unless they see you modeling it. Unless they see that Sunday is important to you as well as the other 6 days. How are they going to get it? They want to be their own. The last thing I want to do is leave my child to themselves, especially at a young age. And so, and I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But so exactly what does the biblical term for children encompass? I'm glad you asked. The Greek word translated children refers to anyone of any age living under his parents' roof, under the roof of the parents. And so that's the saying that you heard me say so many times back in chapter 5, and the same one that most of you have heard when you were children, usually when you presented your mom or dad with the why question, the answer was, because if you're going to live under my roof, you're going to obey my rules. And there's nothing new under the sun. And so does this mean once that you move away from the home, children, that you can dishonor your parents? No, not at all. You be imitators of God. You imitate Christ. And I believe even at age 30, Jesus honored the Father. Listen to me, parents. When you give counsel to other parents who have, let's say, a prodigal son or daughter, 21 years of age, that comes back to the home, the rules need to be consistent of that of a child. When you're coming back to live under my roof, you live under my rules. I don't care that you're now an adult. Now, there are a few exceptions you can make, but very few because of their age. And I'm not going to let that bunny run right now, but he can run during the fellowship time if you want to let him run a little bit. Come see me. Children express their submission by obeying their parents in the Lord. In the Lord modifies obey here, not parents. And so should a child obey their parents, even if their parents ask them to disobey the Lord? First and foremost, I want you to remember the context here. We're talking about Holy Spirit-filled parents, chapter 5. And so it is given that a Holy Spirit-filled parents would not ever, never ask their parents to do anything that dishonored the Lord. That's not the issue here. So again, if you want to talk about some what-ifs, this bunny can run during the fellowship time, because there's a lot of what-ifs here. But obedience is God's will for all ages. Now, I hate to mess you all up and the Apostle Paul at the same time, but actually the first commandment in the Decalogue with a promise is commandment number 2. Amen? You can check that out in Exodus 20. Test all things. You know, you got to check what I say, especially what I say when I give you numbers, right? I got to sing with numbers. But I say all that to say that evidently Paul meant for the children that the fifth was the primary, the first primary commandment, the first concerning family matters, and indeed it did contain a promise. And so when the great I Am, the Lord God, gave Moses and the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother. And he tagged it with a promise, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Speaking of the promised land, however, Paul in the Greek used a word for land that might be better translated earth. And so, like many preachers today, he's making the word relevant. I'm sorry, I just tugged my own chain a little bit there. He's not. Did Paul suggest when the Holy Spirit was inspiring him land, it said, hey, you think I ought to use earth here instead? Don't you think that's better? No, that conversation didn't happen. One doesn't make the word of God relevant. It has always been relevant. It was relevant back then. It is relevant today. Okay, I let go of my chain now. But listen, children, in the days of Moses, to dishonor your parents was punishable by death. And all the children in the house this morning say, thank you, Jesus. Because after the cross and the resurrection, the Holy Spirit of God used the Apostle Paul to preach this wonderful news right here, that the Christian child who honors their father and mother can expect two blessings. One, it will be well with them. And two, they will live long on earth. This does not mean, beloved, that everyone who has died young dishonored their parents. Does not mean that. Nor do only the good die young, as William Joel proclaims. God is stating a principle here, and Warren Wiersbe simplified this for me, stating that when children obey their parents in the Lord, they will escape a good deal of sin and danger, and thus avoid the things that could threaten or shorten their lives. But life is not measured by the quantity of time only. It is also measured by the quality of experience. God enriches the life of the obedient child, no matter how long he or she may live on the earth. Sin always robs us. Obedience always enriches us. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. The New Testament Greek word translated obey is hupakaiokouio. And as Paul often does, this has a military flavor to it. It's a command. Obey speaks of a soldier about to engage in a battle, listening carefully for orders and instructions of the commanding officer. Because if they didn't listen carefully, they may end up at the wrong place at the wrong time, costing them their life. The spiritual command to obey one's parents doesn't call for a response that sounds like this: yeah, I hear ya. Doesn't call for anything like that. Oh, yeah, in a minute. Okay, I'll do it later. The scriptural command to obey one's parents calls for a yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, right away, ma'am. It calls for one to obey as if your life depended on it. It calls for immediate obedience. And so, parents, this is the degree of obedience that you will teach your children, and you will expect it from them. They will rise to the occasion. And, of course, this is much easier when implemented early in life. You probably already noticed that you don't have to teach your children to disobey. They already know how to do that. It comes with the sin nature software package already installed at the factory. From great-grandpa Adam, the doctrine of original sin. And so, parents, you have to install the antivirus. You got to get a good program. Where do I get a good program like that? It's right here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. We have the instruction manual. We have the program here. You don't need to be computer savvy. Proverbs gives us wisdom, wisdom for life, wisdom, financial wisdom, vocational wisdom. Gives us wisdom in raising children, family wisdom. Proverbs 22, the discipline section of your owner's manual. 22 and verse 15, which says, folly, meaning foolishness, is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. And so a good spanking will help drive the fool out of your child. Notice I said a good spanking, which, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean an appropriate spanking. I mean, this is for discipline. This is never for the parent to release anger. The rod of correction can also be verbal. It can be taking away privileges, among other forms of discipline. However, I am in the camp of those who believe that a child ought to have some remembrance of what a spanking is. Flip back a few to Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And so the same way God loves his children and he disciplines us, parents who love their children also diligently, promptly discipline them. Many times moms will do the wait till your daddy gets home thing. But really, when daddy gets home, that'll be spanking number two, if that's the season that your child is in. Prompt discipline is necessary for the child throwing the hissy fit in the Walmart checkout line because he didn't get the toy he wanted. I don't care how long that line is. It's time to get real spiritual, go to the restroom, and lay hands on him. Promptly. Flip over to Proverbs 23. Got one more I want you to look at. 23:13. Which says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Verse 14, if you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. And so your child will not die from a spanking, and nor will you crush their spirit. Besides, if they are of their own spirit, a little crushing is in order. Because left to themselves, at this age, the wide gate is wide open. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. New American Standard Translation reads, a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And so parents, if you're allowing anything less than an immediate, respectful obedience, a yes, sir, yes, ma'am, right away, sir, then you're sinning against God just as much as a child who is dishonoring you. You're allowing it. Every hill is a hill to die on with a child. Every hill is a hill to die on. You must be consistent. Flip back to chapter 6, Ephesians. Consistency is important in raising children. Inconsistency is a form of verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Listen, if your children don't know what to expect, if you're not teaching them absolutes, how will they ever believe in the absolute truth? Lest you teach them. Some children know that if they whine a little, they'll get their way. You'll give in because it worked last time. And you have encouraged this behavior by allowing it. Ephesians 6:1 commands children to obey your parents, for this is right, meaning proper. And it's the job of the parent to teach what is right, what is proper, what it means to obey. I searched the scriptures for obedience, and I found passages that stopped me dead in my tracks. Listen to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 27. This is where Jesus drove out an evil spirit from a man who was possessed. Mark 1:27. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." Even unclean spirits obey the word of God. And so, does that put me somewhere below the level of a demon if I disobey his word? Woe to me. Woe to the disobedient. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother. What does that mean? Children, I'm glad you asked. I have never been able to explain this better than Dr. Vody Bachum, who stated, to honor one's parents is to do what you're told, when you are told, and with a positive attitude, a proper attitude. And so, children, when your parents ask you to get going on your chores, just do it. Just get started. No lip, no commentary. After you complete the task, whatever it is, and you feel that you need some explanation or you want to make a comment, then you come back after you're done and you ask if you can be heard. There can be some discussion on a task that you just completed. Listen, older children, you set the example for the younger children in the household. Especially teenagers. I know you've already thrown away the encyclopedias. I know you already know it all. So does your parents. But you set the example for the younger ones in immediate obedience with a proper attitude. You do it when you're told, right now. Parents, you must help your child in this obedience thing. Allow no discussion at the time of the command. The last thing you tell them is, if you don't get busy by the time I count to three, that is the last thing that you do with the child, because what you're teaching him is delayed obedience. Delayed obedience doesn't honor anyone. It exalts self. And it communicates from the child that what they're doing right now is more important than what you want them to do. If my daughter was to run out in the street when she was young, and I have trained her in delayed obedience, what might the consequences be? Not good. Now, not only in immediate obedience, but also with the right attitude. Children, this means no rolling of the eyes when you're told to do something. No, because all that body language, you might as well just say no to them. Because all that body language, all that facial expression, that is dishonoring your mother and father, and you are sinning against God. And parents, you don't allow it. And if you do allow it, dads, look at verse 4. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you allow anything less than that honor from your child to you or to your bride, you're a disobedient parent. You are a disobedient child of God. And you will one day give account to the Lord. And in the meantime, you and your bride will probably experience the consequences of that child's behavior for years to come. But notice who God has ordained as the primary responsible party. Verse 4, fathers, it's on you. Single moms, unfortunately, then it falls on them. God addresses fathers as being the heads of their family, and he warns fathers not to drive their children into the state of bitterness or anger. Parents must not make unreasonable demands of their children, or thumping the Bible at them for that matter, and thus push them further away from the truth. Children have to have balance in all things, just like we do. All work and no play is boring. It is. It's boring. But at the same time, children also need to know what it is to be still and know that God is God. That's important in today's high-speed 4G world. It really is important. Your child does not need constant high-energy entertainment. You do them no favors by keeping their daily agenda filled, thinking that, well, then that'll keep them out of trouble, or that gives me a little more me time if they're busy. Shame on you if you're thinking that. And fathers, you need to be caught red-handed with Bibles in your hand, you know, every once in a while at home. Open, even. You need to be caught with them open. And take a minute and encourage what you just learned from the Lord. Encourage your children. Share with them. You know, the Lord just, you know what? The Lord just spanked me. They need to hear that. They need to hear that your Heavenly Father's spanking Daddy right now. You need to be humble with your children. Tell them, you know what? I've been a little slack in this area right here. And the Lord just spanked me right here now. They need to see that the Word of God is important to you, other than on Sunday. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, in the remaining five verses, God gives us an example of servants and masters in dealing with behavior in the home. God, through the Apostle Paul, continues with admonishment for servants. Some translation may use the word slaves, most of which were in the home. Servants, slaves. And so we're not taking this outside the home here. He didn't shift gears or change directions all of a sudden. He just made a little lane change, so to speak. For those of us who do not have hired help in the home, I want to suggest a parallel in today's workplace. In fact, the Baptist Faith and Message cites this passage concerning the Christian and the social order. Look at verse 5 and following. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters and with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. That last phrase is key and sums it up for the believer's social order. There's no partiality. And so do you see the same principles here that we have been studying for weeks? God, our Father, is consistent. Servants are to serve their masters as they would serve Christ, as to the Lord. The same way, if you're employed, you are like a bondservant. You obey your boss, whether you think he's a good boss or a bad boss, whether your boss fears God or does not fear God. And notice, beloved, that this passage at the end of verse 5 adds, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. This rolls out by doing what you're told, when you're told, and with the proper attitude as an employee. And verse 6 adds, and not with eye service. In other words, not only while your boss is standing over you watching, but while he's not watching. We have to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Whether you feel you're being honestly compensated or not. Even to the extra mile, especially if your boss is not a believer, that your shining light might win him to the Lord. Now, if you feel as though you're being abused financially or not being compensated, ask for a raise. Talk to your boss. Go to him one-on-one. Or look a new job. But exercise wisdom. Get the new job in order first before you give notice. And you should give notice. Well, that boss, you know, he's never been fair to me, give notice to me. You should give notice. And because God our Father is consistent, there is admonishment for the boss as well. Verse 9, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening. Knowing that he who is both master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him, masters are to treat their slaves as they would treat Christ. If you have an issue with your believing boss, the first step is not thumping this passage to him or her. The first step is to go to them privately, as outlined in Matthew 18. Bring the issue to them privately, one-on-one, face-to-face, and in love. And go from there. Dr. MacArthur said, there are no classifications of Christians. Every believer in Christ Jesus has exactly the same salvation, the same standing before God, the same divine nature and resources, the same divine promises and inheritance. And so to the Christian and the social order, the saints in Ephesus and all of Asia Minor, America and in Youngsville, the outermost parts of the world, you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor female nor male, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28, therefore, walk in unity, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, and behave as children of God. Pastor Ryan.